Hello friends, we are on chapter 24, a very important chapter from exporter's point of view. When you talk about exporter's point of view, this is a special facility provided by exporters and not for all exporters, for special exporters and with a special facility. So we are going to see who are these special exporters and what is this special facility. One amongst them, the special facility is simplification of procedures for exporters. So the objective of this chapter is to understand how banks should serve their export credit customers and simplification of procedures involved. This chapter is also part of excellent customer service provided by banks to its customers, and in this category more specifically to the exporters. So what is the customer service? Banks may provide timely and adequate credit and render essential customer service or guidance in regard to the procedural formalities and export opportunities to their export clients. So many of the exporter clients may not be aware about the regulations, especially related to import-export. So here comes the expertise of the bank to provide guidance to them so that they will find ease at doing their transactions. Banks should open the export council office to guide exporters, particularly the small ones and those taking up the non-traditional exports. And here comes one important new type of facility provided by the banks to the exporters in the form of the gold export schemes. So Government of India, the Ministry of Commerce and Industry, in consultation with RBI, had indicated in the Foreign Trade Policy 20304 that a gold card scheme will be worked out by Reserve Bank of India for credit worthy exporters with good track record. So this type of exporters who have good credit worthiness and have a good track record for easy availability of export credit on best terms. So for those who are having good credit worthiness, those who have good track record, banks are supposed to reward them with best terms. Accordingly, in consultation with select banks and exporters, a gold card scheme was drawn up. And this particular scheme envisages the additional benefits based on the record of performance of the exporters. The gold card holder would enjoy simpler and more efficient credit delivery mechanism in recognition of his good track record. So this is a direct way of rewarding by giving him some best terms for credit. And let's see what are these. The salient features of the gold card scheme for exporters are: all creditworthy exporters, including those in small and medium sectors with good track record, would be eligible for issue of gold card by individual banks. Second important feature is the gold card may be issued to all eligible exporters, including those in small and medium sectors who satisfy the laid down conditions. The third important condition is the gold card holder will be granted better terms of credit, including the rates of interest, than those extended for other exporters by the banks, and applications for credit will be processed faster at simpler norms than all other exporters. So these are very, very important provisions or facilities provided for gold card exporters, and there are some more. The charge schedule and the fee structures will be relatively lower than those provided to other exporters. The sanction and the renewal of limits under the scheme will be based on a simplified procedure. In principle, limits will be sanctioned for a period of 3 years with a provision of automatic renewal subject to the fulfillment of the terms and conditions of the sanctions. So these are very, very comprehensive provisions under the gold card scheme to the exporters. In addition to this, a standby limit of not less than 20% of the assets limit may be additionally made available to facilitate urgent needs for executing certain orders. If we have seen in the previous slide, the charge schedule and fee structure, the sanction and renewal limits, in principle limits, in addition to limit, this also stand out, a standby limit of not less than 20% of the assets limit may be additionally made available to facilitate the urgent credit needs for executing certain orders. So such urgent credit needs are also considered, and in case the exporter of seasonal commodities, the peak and off-peak level will also be appropriately specified. So in all, lots and lots of facilities are provided to exporters under this gold card scheme. In case of unanticipated export orders, The norms for inventory may be relaxed, taking into account the size and the nature of the export order. Requests from the cardholders would be processed quickly by the banks within 25 days, 15 days, and 7 days for fresh applications, renewal of limits, and ad hoc limits respectively. This means 25 days for fresh applications, 15 days for renewal of limits, and 7 days for ad hoc limits. So this is 25, 15, and 7 for fresh, renewal, and ad hoc limits respectively. Gold card holders would be given preference in the matter of granting packet credit in foreign currency. Few more facilities, features of this gold card scheme are: banks would consider waiver of collateral and exemption from the ECC guarantee scheme on the basis of cardholder worthiness and track record. The facility of further value addition to their cards through the supplementary services like ATM, internet banking, international debit credit cards may be also be decided by the issuing bank. The applicable rate of interest to be charged under the gold card scheme will not be more than the general rate of export credit in the respective bank and within the ceiling prescribed by Reserve Bank of India. In respect of gold card holders, the concession rates of interest on post-shipment rupee export applicable up to 90 days may be extended for a maximum period of 365 days. Few more features of this gold card scheme are: gold card holders on the basis of the track record of timely realization of export bills will be considered for issuance of foreign currency credit for meeting urgent payment obligations. Banks may also ensure that the PCFC requirement of the gold card holders are met by giving them priority over the non-export borrowers with respect to granting loans out of their FCNRB schemes. Funds, here the FCNR scheme actually is made up of your foreign currency funds. Banks will consider granting term loans in foreign currency in reserving cases out of even the FCNRB as well as the RFC funds that are available with the bank. So friends, these are the various facilities of the gold card scheme, and one step further, it has also been decided that if there is any delay in crediting of proceeds of export bills drawn in foreign currency, that delays are observed in passing on credit of export bills drawn in foreign currency to the exporter's account after the foreign currency amount is credited to the nostro accounts of the bank, there is a need to promptly restore the limits of the exporter on realization of the bills and pass on the rupee credit to the customer. So this is also one of facility provided to such exporters, and we have full compensation, payment of compensation to the exporter for delayed credit of export bills. So let us see how this payment of compensation is worked out. In respect of the delay in affording credit, in respect of credit advices complete in all respects, the compensation stipulated by FEDAI would be paid to the exporter client without waiting for a demand from the exporter, should have to be straight away paid. Banks should devise a system to monitor the timely credit of export proceeds to the exporter accounts, and the payment of compensation should be as per the FEDAI rules. The internal audit and inspection teams of the bank should specifically comment on these aspects and the reports. There are also certain time limits prescribed especially for sanction of the export credit proposals. The time limit for sanctions are: the sanction of fresh or enhanced export credit limit should be made within 45 days from the date of receipt of the credit limit application with the required detailed information supported by requisite financial operating statements. In case of renewal limits and sanction of ad hoc credit limits, the time taken of the bank should not exceed 30 days and 15 days respectively, other than for the gold card holders. Now let us understand the provisions about the ad hoc limits. Banks should adopt a flexible approach in respect of exporters who for genuine reasons are unable to bring in corresponding additional contribution in respect of their higher credit limits sought for specific orders. No additional interest is to be charged in respect of ad hoc limits granted by way of pre-shipment or post-shipment export credit. Branches may also be authorized to disburse a certain percentage of the enhanced or ad hoc pending sanction by their higher authorities, board or committee members who had originally accorded sanctions to enable the exporters to execute such urgent export orders in time. There are some other requirements to be met, like all rejection of export credit proposals should be brought to the notice of the chief executive of the bank, explain the reasons for the rejection. So it can't be an easy rejection. It has to be brought to the notice of the chief executive of the bank. The internal audit and inspection teams of the banks should comment specifically on the timely sanction of export credit limits within the time schedule prescribed by RBI. So there is a check in the form of inspection teams and by the auditors. It is necessary to submit a review note at a quarterly interval to the board on the position of sanction credit limits to the exporters. So what does this mean? That even a small minute thing like sanction, rejection, the observations made has to be actually reviewed by and brought to the notice of the board in the form of quarterly intervals review. So now let us look at the simplification of procedures specifically for delivery of export credit. Bank should simplify the application form and reduce the data requirement from exporter for assessment of the credit needs so that minimum but important details are filled in the form. Bank should adopt either the projected balance sheet method, the turnover method, the cash budget method for assessment of working capital requirements of their exporters, which is most suitable and appropriate to the business operations, so that will bring in the clarity of assessment. In the case of consortium finance, once the consortium has been approved the assessment, the member bank should simultaneously initiate the respective action process so that the next activity would be hastened. Then online credit to exporters can also be available. Bank should provide line of credit normally for 1 year, which is reviewed annually, and in case of delay in renewal, the sanction limit should be allowed to continue uninterrupted, and urgent requirement of exporters should be met on an ad hoc basis. Next important requirement is, in the case of established exporters having satisfactory track records, bank can consider sanctioning a line of credit for a longer period, say 3 years, with an inbuilt fast flexibility to set up or step down the quantum of limits within the overall outer limits that are assessed. There is some more provision on online credit, that is, in case of exporters of seasonal commodities, agro-based products, bank should sanction the peak as well as the non-peak credit facilities to the exporters. Bank should also permit interchangeability of pre-shipment and post-shipment credit limits. Term loan requirements for expansion of capacity, modernization of machine, upgradation of technology should also be made by banks at their normal rate of interest. An assessment of export credit limit should be need-based and not directly linked to the availability of collateral security. Now, let us look at the provisions of the waiver of submission of orders or LCs for availing the pre-shipment credit. Bank should not insist on submission of export order or letter of credit for every disbursement of pre-shipment credit from exporters with a consistently good record. So this is a small concession given. Instead, a system of periodical submission of statements of letter of credit or export credits in hand could be introduced. Banks may waive ab initio submission of order or letter of credit in respect of exporters with good track record and put in place a system of obtaining the periodical statement of outstanding orders LC on hand. So here, rather than actual documents, periodical statements can be introduced for such exporters. Now, how to handle the export document? This is also a very important provision. Banks are required to obtain, among others, the original sale contracts or the performed confirmed order or pro forma invoice countersigned by the overseas buyer or indent from the authorized agents of the overseas buyer for handling the export documents as per the exchange control regulations. In case of submission of documents, need not be insisted upon at a time of handling export documents, since the goods have already been valued and cleared by the customs authorities. But this is except in case of transactions with letter of credit, where in terms of letter of credit requires submission of sale contracts or other alternative documents. There is a provision for fast track clearance of export credit. At specialized branches and branches having sizable export business, a facilitation mechanism for assisting the export customer should be put in place for quick initial scrutiny of credit applications and for discussions of seeking the additional information or clarifications. Bank should streamline the internal systems and procedures to comply with the stipulation or the stipulated time limits for disposal of the export credit proposals, and also endeavor to dispose of the export credit proposals ahead of the prescribed time schedule. banks should delegate higher sanctioning powers to their branches for the export credit. There are some more provisions of the fast track clearance. Banks should consider reducing at least some of the intervening layers in the sanctioning process. Banks should introduce a system of joint appraisal by officials to the branches and administrative offices to facilitate the quicker processing of export credit proposals. Where feasible, banks should set up a credit committee at specialized branches and at administrative offices for sanctioning or working capital facilities to the exporters. Now the final points of this chapter is on publicity and training, the customer education. So that also needs to be done meticulously. Let us first understand the important provisions about publicity and training. Exporters need to be encouraged to make maximum use of the export credit in foreign currency, but they should be made aware of such facilities. Hence, banks located in areas with concentration of exporters should give wide publicity to important facilities that are offered by them to the exporters. Next important point on publicity and training is, banks may also arrange to publicize widely the concessionality available in the interest rates for the deemed exporters, and the officers at the operating level should be provided with adequate training so that they can better deal with the exporters, and maybe they can tell them more about the facilities offered by the bank to the exporters. Next important aspect like publicity is your customer education. Banks should bring out a handbook containing the salient features of simplified procedures. This handbook will contain the salient features by which any exporter will get familiar with it for sanction of export credit in foreign currency at international competitive rates as well as in rupees for the benefit of the exporter clients. Also, to facilitate interaction between the banks and the exporters, banks should periodically organize the exporters meet at centers with concentration of exporters so that exporters can get more and more education about the various facilities, and in turn they can bring in more improvements in their business. And over above this, there has to be a monitoring implementation of guidelines. Banks should ensure that the exporters' credit requirements are met in full and promptly at competitive rates. Banks should also set up an internal team to visit the branches periodically, say once in 2 months, to gauge the extent of implementation of the guidelines. And finally, the pre-shipment credit to diamond exporters. This is a very important facility to diamond exporters. Trading in conflict diamonds has been banned by UN resolutions number 1173 and 1176. Import of diamonds into India should always be accompanied by the Kimberley Process Certificate, popularly known as the KPC. Exports from India should also be accompanied by the KPC, to the effect that no conflict or rough diamonds have been used in the process. The KPC should be verified, validated by the Gems and Jewelry Export Promotion Council. And finally, banks shall adhere to the directions under the Foreign Exchange Management Act 1999. Thank you.